Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, October 20th, and today I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. And, you know, this weekend we actually had wind. We had cold wind here in Florida. And I just heard on the news as we were coming in that the first snowfall fell. And so I'm excited because I love this time of year and I love that winter is coming and we're having Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those nice things to do. Anyway, what we're going to be talking about today is my guest is a blogger who has built a tiny house. A toxic-free tiny house, and she has planned it all out from the beginning. It's as toxic as non-toxic as can be, and I'm very interested in hearing about this. I'm intrigued by the whole subject of tiny houses. I actually live in what some people might consider to be a big house, 1,600 square feet, in kind of a suburban neighborhood with a little bit of land around it, and it feels like a big house to me, and I've been looking at these tiny houses and wondering if I could live in such a small space. Anyway, we're going to hear all about her tiny house, and we're going to hear about how she made her tiny house toxic-free. Her name is Corinne Segura, and her blog is called My Chemical-Free House. Hi, Corinne.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
So, tell us how you came to be interested in toxics and things being toxic-free, and then I want to hear how that turned into a tiny house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I developed multiple chemical sensitivities, and I was living in Toronto, and I also had chronic fatigue syndrome, which I still have. But so it was a little bit of a necessity. For me to try and live as non-toxic as possible. And that was pretty hard in a condo in a big city.
Yes.
And so I decided I would move across the country and to a milder climate in BC. And I'm on the West Coast. And I thought, well, I didn't have enough money to buy land or to build a regular size house. So it was a little bit of necessity and a little bit of, I do love tiny houses.
Well, what's it like to live in a tiny house?
Well, I don't mind it at all. To me, it feels quite spacious. And a lot of people say that when they walk in because of the design. You can see on the blog, it's got, you know, a shed roof. So it's got a lot of space vertically. And I don't keep it cluttered. I keep it really nice and neat. So it feels, you know, you can entertain a few people, and to me, it's normal.
You must not have very much stuff.
I don't have very much stuff. That's one big adjustment that might not work for most people, because I have everything digitized, you know, in terms of photos and paperwork, and, you know, I don't keep many belongings. I don't keep many clothes, and that's sort of my lifestyle. And that works well when you have, I had very severe MS, you know, multiple chemical sensitivities when I moved in, and it was a lot easier to just sort of keep a minimalist, you know, living environment.
And how has living in this environment helped you recover?
Well, yeah, I started getting almost immediately I started sleeping better. And then it's been sort of a slow progress, and my sensitivities are way down. Now I can go to, you know, public gatherings and most normal places I can go to, maybe not a hair salon, but, you know, like, it's really opened up in terms of, I feel a lot, you know, a lot more freedom of movement. And so yeah. I also have to say it was the house, but it was also detox. And maybe we'll talk about that more, because I can't just say it was only the house. I also did a lot of, you know, detox that got all those toxins out of me.
Let's talk about the detox right now before we talk about the house. So tell us what you did.
Yeah, I did cholestyramine, which is a pretty, very strong binder, and that's prescription. And then I did some lighter binders. I won't go into all of them, but those, the main ones were the cholestyramine ALA and glutathione. And glutathione and ALA you can purchase, you know, from health food stores online. And those have just made a huge, huge, huge difference. Like the brain fog was gone and I just started slowly getting back to, you know, the regular world where you can't avoid everything.
Right. You know, I've had myself a similar story to yours where I had multiple chemical sensitivities and many, many years ago, back in 1978, I think was the year that it started. And I figured out that I needed to remove the chemicals from my home and that would work. Mm-hmm. Too. I mean, I thought if chemicals were making me sick, why not just get rid of them and that my body should heal? And that happened. And so I was living in a condo at the time and I tried to make that okay. But eventually, we didn't know about tiny houses then, but eventually I went in and got a little cottage in the woods and I made it totally non-toxic. And I started really getting better to the point where I could then go out. I even traveled to Europe and didn't have any problems and things like that. So it really does make a difference what your environment is. I mean, even if you only look at us as a study of two, but I think that there are many other people who've had the same experience. And then it wasn't until many, many years later that I started detoxing. And though I used different products than you've used, I had the same experience of things that, you know, you can detox your home all you want, but if the chemicals are still in your body, they're still in your body and they're still making you sick.
Yeah, they do. They do accumulate in your body and it, you know, they might not be, you know, coming out in the way that most people's body would eliminate toxins. So
do you think that people who have multiple chemical sensitivities or other illnesses that come from chemical exposure, their detox systems might not be working so well?
Yeah, it seems that way. And I've also seen a bunch of people that have tried detox in a not great environment. So, and it hasn't worked really, or they've had bad reactions. So it seems like the key is really, from the people I've seen, is that you have to do both. You have to try, you know, clean up your house as much as possible, and then hopefully try whatever kinds of binders or, you know, antioxidants work for you, or saunas and, you know, all these things.
That's been my experience too, is that you have to do them both, because if you're trying to detox and you're still putting toxic chemicals into your body from your environment, it's like trying to empty the bathtub while you're putting water in it. And they really go hand in hand. But I've seen in my own life and I think you've seen in yours, and I think other people have seen, that when they do those two things, it's a spectacular result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really makes a difference. It really makes a difference. So I want to talk about, first let me tell my listeners that on my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, I've posted, Corinne's video of her tiny house. And so it's like an 18-minute video and you can just go there. It'll be on toxicfreetalkradio.com this week. If you are listening in the future, here I am talking to people in the future. If you're listening to the archive show in the future, it will be on that page. You've probably already seen it because you've gotten to this show from the page where the video is. And it's about 18 minutes. It really shows everything about her, all the different things in her tiny house. And you can really get an idea of what that's like. And there's also a whole lot of information on her website at mychemicalfreehouse.net. We're coming up on the break now. But when we come back, let's just start going through your house and you can tell us all about the different kinds of materials and how did you figure out what to use and questions like that. I know that I recently started a new blog on my website called Shop with Deborah because people wanted to know, how did I figure out what to buy? And so I think we want to know, how did you figure out what to use? We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Corinne Segura. She's the writer of the blog My Chemical Free House, which is mychemicalfreehouse.net. And she writes about her tiny house and how she made it toxic free. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Gatt, and my guest today is Karen Segura. She's the writer of the blog My Chemical Free House, which is at mychemicalfreehouse.net. And she lives in a tiny house that she's made toxic free. So, Corinne, where did you start? Once you decided to do a tiny house and make it toxic free, what was the first thing you did?
Well, it was a lot of research in a very short amount of time because it's a pretty quick build for a tiny house for about 4 months. And so I wanted to find everything VOC free if I could. So I researched the materials. I looked at their safety data sheet. As you know, a safety data sheet does not even give you, you know, the information that it really should, like VOCs, and some products have not even been properly tested. A lot, you know, there's not enough regulations, but I did my best I could with researching and talking to other people that were sensitive and which materials worked for them. And then I did some testing. I tested, you know, samples of materials. I was really sensitive at the time, so I had a pretty good sense of whether that would be okay, although it's very hard when you're sampling, you know, a 4-inch piece of drywall that's going to be, you're actually going to have it surrounding you. So I think you have to use a few different methods. You have to use those 3 different methods in order to really be sure, unless you sleep in a room, unless you bring so much in and sleep in a room with it first, but that could be very difficult to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of places did you look to find out this information?
I tried to look for studies that did a testing. And if there weren't any, I would look at the product's website and see if they made claims that it's VOC free or non-toxic. And sometimes you just have to send a lot of emails and ask them, have you done VOC testing? Are you able to say that this is a non-toxic product? And a lot of the times, you know, most of the times you get an answer. So that's another way too. It does take a lot of time to do this, to do all the research for every single material.
It does. I know. I've done it.
Yeah.
I continue to do it. It takes a lot of time. And having done it over a 30-year period, I can see that now there's a lot more awareness, and there are new products coming out. There are things available today that weren't available many years ago, or even what year did you build your house? A year and a half ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
Two years ago, yeah. I think that there's even some products available today that weren't available then. And so I see that people are starting to understand that there's a growing market of interest for non-toxic products. Yeah. And so they do test their products. They know what their VOCs are. They know what their lead levels are and things like that. And so that we can then have that information to make our choices. And so I see that we're moving in the right direction, that it's not a non-toxic world yet. But we're moving in the right direction.
And one more research is I heavily relied on the book Prescriptions for a Healthy Home. And I know you have a good book too. Mm-hmm. And so these can be really good resources because that person has already done all the emails and the interviews. And, you know, you can quickly sort of look for what might be the best product.
Yes. Yes. Prescription for a Healthy Home is a very good book. Mm-hmm. My books are not particularly about building. Mine are more about what goes in the house. Mm-hmm. But I do have some information about building. And I've done a lot of remodeling myself and consulted with people on doing their remodels or their buildings. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the specific products that you have in your house. Let's see, where shall we start? How about the walls. Let's start with the walls. How did you build your walls?
The walls are magnesium oxide board, which is still, I think, going through some growing pains because it did crack on me. And I haven't quite figured out what people are doing to stop it from cracking. But it is a very non-toxic cement board instead of a gypsum board. And toxin-wise, it's been really good. I used wood framing, though metal framing is probably a lot better of an idea for a tiny house because it's going to really hold up to mold mm-hmm. over the long run. And it's going to be easier to, you know, it's going to last longer in terms of the movement of the house when you relocate.
Right, right.
And what else did I use? I used a lot of wood flooring and wood ceiling. I used low order wood just to be safe because I was so sensitive at the time. I thought, you know, what if I move in and cedar or pine is too much for me?
So which wood did you use?
I used poplar, and maple is also a good one because it's a hardwood.
Yeah, that's something that people need to watch out for is what does the wood, how strong is the wood odor? And a lot of people who are sensitive react to those strong odors, even to Christmas trees and things like that. Mm-hmm. So wood, there are many different kinds of woods and they have all these different characteristics. So wood is not just wood. That was good mm-hmm. that you got that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, now that I've recovered quite a bit, I'm not sensitive to it. But, you know, when you're moving into a new house, you want to do everything you can.
Yes, if you have that opportunity to do that. Yeah. So then what about your floors?
Floors are wood. I used a natural pigment stain from Milk House Company, and then I used hemp oil on all the wood as a finish, which has worked out.
This doesn't work well?
Yeah, the hemp oil works well. It's not as waterproof as some as there's now. Now that I'm continuing my research, I'm finding that there are some zero VOC wood stains that will give you a little more water repellency. But the hemp oil is working well for me.
That's good. Okay, so I see you have some cabinets.
Yeah, I used solid wood cabinets, which is not always recommended in a kitchen because of the moisture, and they might warp with time. But so far, 2 years, they're working. There's not a lot of options for cabinets unless you go with metal cabinets. If you want to be completely 100%, you know, safe on cabinets, because a lot of them use, you know, the particle boards.
Right. I had, I lived in two little cabins in the woods. And in my second one, it came with metal cabinets. I think it was just like out of the Sears catalog or something. And they were pretty old metal cabinets. And the thing about metal cabinets is that they rust. So if there's any kind of moisture, you get rusted metal cabinets. I took them out and put in custom-built wood cabinets, which is a whole other story. But it was a success. It was a success. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Corinne Segura. She writes the blog My Chemical Free House, which is at mychemicalfreehouse.net, and she lives in a tiny house that's toxic free, and we'll find out more about it when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Corinne Segura. She writes the blog My Chemical Free House at mychemicalfreehouse.net, and we're talking today about her tiny house that she built in totally toxic free. Okay, so let's see what else you have. We talked about your cabinets. Did you have those custom made?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I have never walked into a store and actually found a cabinet. I mean, I think there's some that you can order online, but I found that I had, just in my little tiny local community where I lived, there was a very nice cabinet maker, and he was willing to do exactly what I wanted. And the total cost came out less than if I had bought the same amount of cabinets at Home Depot. So I think that people think that custom cabinets cost a lot, but they don't necessarily.
And, you know, in a tiny house, you really have to do almost everything custom because the sizes are not going to fit. But it worked, you know, I did it for reasons of making it non-toxic as well. I know there are some companies that, you know, have certified, you know, low VOC cabinets, but those are very expensive and they're still not perfect. And I, you know, my goal was to see whether I could do it zero VOC.
That's always my goal too. You know, I just really, I want to live as toxic free as possible. And so to make it not quite toxic free, I always want to go and do the extra mile and see if I can do it. And that's why I build my own cabinets and things like that. Yeah. So,
So then, let's see, what else do we have? Paint on the walls.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I used clay plaster on the walls because I love
it. Yay! Me too.
Yeah. It's very calming, and they say it gives off negative ions and that it actually absorbs some toxins. But I just, you know, it feels great. It makes it very comfortable. And
I did my bathroom in clay plaster, mm-hmm. and I totally love it. And it's tile and clay plaster. And it just, as you said, it is very calming, and it just feels mm-hmm. very soft. And it's a totally different feel than even if you put no VOC paint on the walls. Mm-hmm. It's still plastic.
Yeah.
And to make this switch over to clay plaster is an entirely different feel in the room. And mm-hmm. and if I were to build a house right now today, I would use clay plaster or milk paint on the walls, mm-hmm. depending on which room I'm in. Clay plaster has another advantage of it. If you put it in a bathroom where there's a lot of moisture, it actually absorbs the moisture, mm-hmm. and then it puts it out into the room so that it can mm-hmm. evaporate instead of having it sit on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's an amazing product. Good. I'm so happy you used that.
Lime plaster is another good plaster too. That's very impervious to mold.
Yeah, yeah. So insulation, what did you
insulation.
Do for insulation?
Insulation, there's a lot of good options. There's wool now, there's hemp. There's so many if you want to go with something, you know, completely natural. I actually made the decision to go with XPS, which is a rigid foam, which is, you know, not what they would call a natural product. Mm-hmm. But they do say that they don't off-gas. It does contain flame retardants, which is the downside. But I used a barrier. I used a polyethylene barrier to prevent the migration of the flame retardants. So mm-hmm. that was a little bit of a compromise. Not really a compromise for me, but, you know, a little bit a move away from zero VOC because I wanted that really high insulation value and mm-hmm. I wanted something very mold proof. And there is a rigid foam now. Johns Manville makes a flame retardant free rigid foam. So okay. if you really want to, you know, avoid the flame retardants, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
There is one that doesn't have them, and there are other good options too, like I said.
When I lived in California out in the woods, I remodeled my kitchen when I took out those metal cabinets, and the kitchen actually was added onto the structure. And it was, the building was built in 1930, I think. And then this was added on, and they didn't use any, sheetrock. What they used was just pieces of plywood. And mm-hmm. so we just decided that we would take out the cabinets, take all that plywood off the walls and just do everything right. And as we pulled it off, they used for insulation newspapers. And so we had all these old newspapers from the 1930s stuck in the walls. And but what we put in was wool. We used wool.
Yeah.
And we just got wool bats. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even sold as insulation. We just got wool bats and stuffed it in the wall. And we loved it. We totally loved it.
Yeah, wool is a really great option. And they do now sell it, and it's a lot more easier to find those kinds of things now.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, this was like 20 years ago when I did that.
Yeah.
So let's see, what else?
There's so many little things that, you know, we can't go through them all, but, you know, there's so many great glues, and there's so many, even, you know, non-toxic paint if you don't use plaster, and adhesives and stains.
Those
that
are really getting better.
Yeah, you know, AFM, I know I'm not trying to, you know, rep any of these companies, but AFM does have a whole line of, you know, pretty much any kind of glue that you might need in a, mm-hmm. you know, you need silicone, it's pretty hard to, you know, do a bathroom without silicone. And mm-hmm. now there are really good options for all these, all these little things that you might not realize you need till the later in the build. But,
how do you heat your house?
I use a heat pump. So it does AC and it does heat and it is electric. So I decided not to go with propane because, you know, it's, you don't want to be breathing in propane. And no. Although some propane appliances, they do vent to the outside, so you're not going to be having the indoor fumes. You still have to deal with bringing in, you know, the canisters and refilling them. And that can be really difficult when you have MCS. So
yeah.
I decided not to go with propane, but the benefit of propane is you can get a lot more off the grid or completely off the grid. But then you have a major difficulty with heating, because the only sort of off the grid heating is wood stoves or propane. And those are both something you don't want with the internal combustion.
So do you, so you're not like completely off the grid, like living out in the middle
no.
of nowhere. Connected. I think I've been just kind of wandering around your video and your blog. I think you're connected to somebody else's, right?
I'm connected to electricity, and that is, yeah, that's what ties me to the grid. But my water and sewage is off the grid. So I have a composting toilet and a gray water recycling system. Very basic.
Mm-hmm. Good. We need to go to break again, but when we come back, we'll continue talking with Corinne Segura about her tiny house that's toxic-free. She writes her blog, My Chemical-Free House, and that's at mychemicalfreehouse.net. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Corinne Segura. She writes the blog My Chemical Free House, which is at mychemicalfreehouse.net. And we're talking about her tiny house that she built totally toxic free. So I saw in the blog, Corinne, that you have a bed that's up against a window. Now, I know that windows are pretty toxic. Window frames have preservatives in them and things like that. So did you build a window totally from scratch?
We used aluminum windows, which are I think the best option. And then they're framed on the inside with the poplar to sort of look like wooden windows. So maybe that's why you got the idea that maybe they were. So no, they're not the, because wooden windows are treated with, the ones that you buy are treated
they
with chemicals. So the aluminum is almost as perfect as you can get. There is a tiny little bit of rubber in between the glass and the metal, but, it's the best option, I think.
Yeah. And I saw on your blog, did you build your own sofa?
Yes, because, well, it's a small space.
I just love looking at everything that you're doing, because, I mean, you really had to say, I can't, because of the space, I can't buy all these mm-hmm. things that I might usually buy, and that you came up with all of these creative solutions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, your creativity is magnificent.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. There was some creativity involved with the whole endeavor.
Well, tell us about your sofa that you built, because I know this is a question that I get a lot, because sofas are expensive mm-hmm. and people are looking for something affordable. So tell us about your sofa.
Yeah, well, the cost was pretty up there compared to, or was comparable to some of the non-toxic sofas that are now available online, which is great that that's now available. But I went with, solid wood, solid maple. I chose the glue, so I knew that I used Tite Bond, which is a non-toxic glue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not for years.
Yeah. And, latex, natural latex cushions. So I got to be totally in control of, you know, no flame retardants, definitely no mm-hmm. flame retardants in the house. And then chose the fabric, washed the fabric myself so that it, you know, doesn't contain the formaldehyde types of residues that they put on most fabrics. And, a natural finish. It was it's a German finish, so you can't buy it here, but you know, it was an all natural finish.
When I made a sofa also, I didn't start from scratch. What I did was I bought an old sofa at an auction. It cost $50. Mm. And there was a funny story. It came in a set with a rug and a sofa, and the price kept going up and up and up. And the person right next to me was bidding against me and bidding against me. I thought, and I finally just gave up. And then when they bought it, I asked them, and it turned out they wanted the rug. They didn't care about the sofa, and all I wanted was the sofa. So they took my $50 and I had a sofa. But then I've had it all. The reason that I wanted that is because old sofas have spring cushions, mm-hmm. cushions with springs. And so then I wrapped them in wool and cotton, and I had it upholstered in linen. And mm-hmm. It's maybe 20 years ago now, and I still have the same sofa and the same wing chair that I made out of old furniture pieces.
Wow,
and they still
really
look
idea.
Perfect. They mm-hmm. still look new. And I was very happy with that.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So another thing that I see on your blog here is that you have a bunch of ideas for little prefab modular tiny homes for people mm-hmm. who are chemically sensitive. And there's so many options. Tell us about those.
Yeah, well, I was sort of looking for, you know, inexpensive options for people because I keep hearing from some people that are really in bad housing crises. And the tiny house did cost me $75,000, which is very expensive and almost the cost of, you know, building yeah. a, you know, small but regular sized house. So I looked at, for instance, metal yurts uh-huh. are a cute little option. And those start at $10,000, but then you would need to add quite a bit to that. But it's, you know, I'm a lot more affordable than a tiny house, and something you can also move around, not maybe as easily as something on wheels, but you know, if you have a backyard or a lot of land where you can put something like that, these are some of the other options. There's another one called Arch Cabins on my website. And I just kind of go through how you could take these shells and, you know, and then you can kind of go through the website and look at what I would then use for the insulation and the walls. And you can just customize these on the interiors of these.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I just, again, creativity. And I see that, you know, you had a need and you filled it, and
yeah.
and that you really are thinking outside of the box here and coming up with all these ways that anybody could have a toxic free house. I mean, even mm-hmm. if, you know, when I was in California, I knew several people who had built like an outdoor room. They lived mm-hmm. in the woods in yeah. forests. And so they built an outdoor room that was actually open to the forest. Mm-hmm. And then they set up a whole bedroom there so that they could sleep mm-hmm. in a bed, but protected out in their forest. And so anybody, I mean, and I've even thinking about this myself because I have enough room to put like a bedroom size something mm-hmm. in my backyard. And you could just go out there and you would have no electricity, so you wouldn't have the EMF stuff. Mm-hmm. You could have it be totally toxic free. And then even if the rest of your house wasn't so good, anybody could do this for not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if the sleep is the most important, wherever you're sleeping,
right.
you can recover so much at night, and then you could go into your regular, wherever you work during the day and just recoup out in your little
yeah.
tiny, tiny, clean, non-toxic.
Tiny house in the backyard.
Yeah.
Well, this has been extremely informative, and I think you've given me a lot of ideas in directions that I hadn't even been thinking of. So we only have a few minutes left now. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yeah, I would just say be a little bit cautious with greenwashing and sort of LEED certified, which is a really, you know, it's a great idea, but that doesn't mean zero VOC in any
no.
way. And there's, you know, there's a bunch of other types of greenwashing where they say it's eco or, you know, those kinds of words. And, you know, you do need to do a little more research, and not just to plug myself, but it is a good idea to use a consultant that can save you hours and hours of research.
I totally agree with that. Yes, I mean, you could call me, and either mm-hmm. of us could help you save a lot of money and a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've done consultations with people where they should have called me first because mm-hmm. they now have a toxic home or a toxic office or whatever, and if they would just call me, and you know, you can put together. I just did a consultation with a woman where she was having a remodel, and I said, have your contractor write down all the materials so that I can review them. Mm-hmm. And that's not an expensive consultation, but it'll save you in the end.
Exactly. Yeah. You can go you can go through a whole list with someone who's already done all the research and
Yeah. Well, I'm just thrilled. I can't tell you how happy I am that you're doing what you're doing, because it's just such a, it's just so needed. It's so needed. And, I just want to tell our listeners just a few things that are on your blog, the types of articles, things that you've done, because, so you tested some things like grout and thinset and, how to use ozone to clean up toxins, instructions on how to do that and why it works. We've got non-toxic window coverings, natural wall systems, things like emergency housing, just so many things. How to stain wood with natural pigments. it's just great. So go to Corinne's website, which is at chemicalfreehouse.net, mychemicalfreehouse.net, and it's just like almost anything that you would want to know about what to do safely for your house.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Corinne. You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, there's a lot more shows there. You can listen to this show again. You can listen to other shows. There's more than 200 shows. A lot of them have transcripts, so you can read it. And now I have everything divided in two categories. And so if you want to know all the food shows, you can just click on food, and I have some regular guests. You can look up those guests and see all their shows. It's all getting really very, very, very well organized. And I also, as I think I mentioned earlier, I have a new blog on my website called Shop with Deborah. And it came about because people wanted to know, how did I pick out these products? What am I looking for? I have a lot of products listed on Deborah's list on my website that you can order online. But Shop with Deborah is about me shopping out in the real world and how to make some toxic-free choices. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah.